Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast. I'm Keith Caulfield, Managing Director, Charts and Data Operations at Billboard.
That's new. And I'm Katie Atkinson, Billboard's Executive Digital Director, West Coast.
Hello, Katie.
Hello. We both have mouthfuls of titles now.
It just gets more.
The longer you work here, the more words they add.
Titles in 2023. It's funny. All right. Well, as always, the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast is your one-stop shop for all things pop on Billboard's weekly charts. In addition, you can always count on a lively discussion about the latest pop news, fun chart stats and stories, new music, and guest interviews with music stars and folks from the world of pop. Today on the show, we've got chart news on how Karol G makes history atop the Billboard 200 Albums chart, scoring not only her first number one album, but the first number one all-Spanish-language album by a woman. Plus, on the Billboard Hot 100 Songs chart, The Weeknd's six-year-old song Die For You jumps to number one thanks to a new remix with Ariana Grande. It's the second time the two acts have teamed up for a remix-fueled number one, following 2021's Save Your Tears. And it's the fourth time in total Ariana has topped the chart with a collaboration. Clearly, when you sprinkle some Ariana on your track, you can often get some magical results.
Ariana pixie dust. Plus, the Academy Awards are this Sunday. Will Rihanna become a first-time Oscar winner? Could Lady Gaga take home her second win or maybe perform? Who knows? Mm-hmm. Will Austin Butler win Best Actor for playing the king of rock and roll, Elvis Presley? And what are we going to be watching out for during the show? Oh, and by the way, Keith, I'll be at the Oscars.
Katie is going to the Blinken Academy Awards, which I did not know about till last night.
So amazing. We'll talk about that, too. But first, before we get started, if you enjoy the podcast, subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast provider so you won't miss an episode. And if you want to explore more podcasts from Billboard, visit billboard.com/podcasts.
I want to say we'll get to Oscar chat in a second.
Yes.
But, you know, oftentimes, we may seem very blasé about going to concerts or music award shows.
Do we? I'm not.
Well, maybe we seem that way.
Right, from the outside looking in. The way we talk casually about, like, that was that time we went to the BBMAs.
We're covering the press room this year, blah, 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 because it's something familiar that we've been to before. I've never been to the Oscars in any capacity.
I have been in the press room for the Oscars when I worked at Entertainment Weekly, but I have never been inside the theater.
Wait, you're going to be inside the theater?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Oh my gosh.
I just thought you were going to be in the press room.
I have like a ticket, Keith.
Oh, shut the front door. Oh my God. Okay, now that's a ultra tease. We're going to ramble about some chart junk now, and then we'll get to the real
juicy
stuff.
Let's talk about charts, I guess.
Charts, schmarts. All right. Well, we will talk about charts. Then we'll get to the hot, sexy stuff involving Katie going to be in a glamorous gown of some sort. Oh, my God. All right. Okay, let's do the chart chat. First up, Karol G's Mañana Será Bonito makes an unprecedented splash on the Billboard 200 Albums chart as the set debuts atop the tally. It's both the first number one for the artist and the chart's first number one all-Spanish-language album by a female artist. Previously, only two all-Spanish albums have led the list, and both were by Bad Bunny. He had Un Verano Sin Ti in 2022 and El Último Tour del Mundo in 2020. Mañana is effectively an all-Spanish-language effort, save for a handful of English, possibly patois, lyrics by guest artist Sean Paul on one track. But for our purposes, we're just going to say it's all Spanish.
Yeah.
Mañana earned 94,000 equivalent album units in the United States in the week ending March 2nd, according to Luminate. Its starting sum was largely powered by streaming activity. Mañana is also the first Latin album by a woman to reach number one on the Billboard 200 since 1995.
I think that would surprise a lot of people.
Right. Now, we say Latin album, meaning an album that was charted on our top Latin albums chart or was eligible to chart on.
It's basically in a Latin genre. You'd say, right?
It basically needs to be more than half Spanish.
Okay.
Effectively.
Okay.
I mean, there's a couple other sort of
rules.
Quibbly rules, but for the most part, you have to be more than half Spanish. So the last Latin album by a woman to reach number one on the Billboard 200 before this week was in 1995, and that was Selena's posthumously released, mostly Spanish effort, Dreaming of You. It spent 1 week at number one when it debuted atop the list. The 13-song Dreaming of You album has 6 tracks in Spanish, 5 in English, and then they had 2 duets that blended English and Spanish. Only 3 mostly non-English language albums by women have ever reached number one on the Billboard 200. When I say mostly, that means more than half. There was the all-Spanish Mañana this week, Dreaming of You.
And then, of course,
The Singing Nuns, all-French self-titled album.
I'm never
going to
forget that now. That's such good trivia. I just want to say, we just had our Billboard Women in Music event last week.
And The Singing Nun was there.
No, The Singing Nun was not there. But last year, Carol G was honored at our Billboard Women in Music event. And I was in that room, and that crowd was so loud for her. Every person who had bought a ticket, every fan, I should say, who bought a ticket to be in the YouTube theater was for Carol G. Hmm. So this woman has clearly been on this trajectory because, as we said last week, she never even had a top 10 album on the Billboard 200 before this one. So we're talking about, like, just skyrocket to the top for her. And do we think that she could possibly have another week at number one?
Not if Morgan Wallen has anything to say about it.
No. That's not going to happen.
his new album, One Thing at a Time, is on track to debut atop the list next week. In the album's first 3 days, which I reported out on Billboard on Monday night, the album already earned more than 280,000 equivalent album units just in its first 3 days, with more than 240 million on-demand official streams for its whopping 36 songs. That is already the biggest week of the year for an album after only 3 days. I think the question now is less about will Morgan be number one, but how long will Morgan be number one?
Right. Sorry to Miley Cyrus.
Yeah, but then again, you never know. We had this long debate last week. We could actually be surprised. Maybe Morgan will have a big drop in his second week, and maybe Miley has a lot of tricks up her sleeve. We shall see. That's the fun stuff. That's the fun thing about these charts.
She did announce a music video coming on Friday, so she's definitely pulling out all the stops when she releases the album.
A music video for another single?
Rivers is the name of the song.
So is that the new single? Or is it just the new video?
At least the new video. What do they call them? Focus tracks?
Oh, right.
I mean, it's I don't know if she's moving on from Flowers just yet.
It's a way to dance around. Don't call it a single. all right. Well, next up over on the Billboard Hot 100 Songs chart, The Weeknd and Ariana Grande's Die For You bounds from number 6 to number 1 after Grande joined for its new remix that was released on February 24th. The song reigns after it was originally released on The Weeknd's album Starboy in 2016, before it was revived in recent months thanks in part to interaction on TikTok, which helped spark new promotion to radio and streaming services. The team-up marks each artist's 7th number one on the Hot 100, and their 2nd together.
That's actually surprising that they have the same number. Obviously, they're not all Ari and Weeknd collabs,
just two of them.
Parallel careers.
It's their 2nd together after Save Your Tears hit number one in 2021 for 2 weeks. Also after Ariana was added onto a remixed version of the song. It's the 4th time Ariana has reached number one through a collaboration. In addition to her 2 number ones with The Weeknd, she also topped the list with Justin Bieber in 2020 for Stuck With You, which was that sort of early COVID era charity single.
Yes.
And Lady Gaga that same year, a few months later, with Rain on May.
I love that song so much.
Ari's 3 number ones without any help from anyone are Thank You, Next, 7 Rings, and Positions. some numbers for you. Die For You earned 81.1 million radio airplay audience impressions, which was up less than 1%, and 32.4 million streams in the U.S. That was up 181%, and sold 14,000 downloads, up 1,170%. All in the week ending March 2nd, again, according to Luminate. The latter two figures were boosted heavily by the new remix with Ariana. Fun fact for you, Katie.
Yes.
Of Ariana's 72 Hot 100 hits, nearly half of them, 32, are collaborations. Mm. In fact, a little over half of her top 10 charting hits are collabs. 10 of her 19 top 10s are songs that she did with someone else.
And we've obviously seen this, like, in general in pop music, things being more collaborative, but particularly that is known for hip-hop artists. We've got rappers typically serving features to songs. Ariana, however, is basically just, like, the pop star equivalent of a rapper at this point.
I guess, yeah.
Yeah, because, like, this is not normal. Like, her, like, a, I don't know, just the way she gets put onto a remix and it goes to number one, it's pretty...
Nice work if you can get it.
Nice work if you can get it. And obviously, the combination of Ariana and The Weeknd has proven successful in the past. I have to say, with the Save Your Tears remix, I'm, like, annoyed when the radio plays the original now because I love the remix version so much and, like, Ari brought so much to it that I attempt to, like, sing her parts when I'm, like, listening to that on the radio. So I don't know if the Die For You remix will become as essential as that Save Your Tears remix was to me, but it obviously gave it the boost it needed to get to number one.
So why does the Die For You remix exist? Aside from the fact that Save For You was such a big success, it's like, oh, let's go back to that well.
I feel like it exists because Ariana Grande wanted it to, because Ari doesn't do something that she doesn't want to do. And she's also quite busy right now. She's currently filming the Wicked movies, mm-hmm. plural. And they posted The Weeknd and Ariana posted, you know, her in the studio straight up like recording and editing her own vocals. She's over here on Pro Tools, like shifting everything around. I think she decided that she'd like to do a remix and Abel didn't say no is what happened there.
I wonder how much money she gets from this.
I mean, I don't know how that works.
I know. I'm not asking you.
No, but
I'm just wondering. It's like, now do you get, like, because you changed a couple of lyrics, do you now get a publishing? Do you get I realize it's all about, oh, it's just the love. There's, like, two good artist friends who love one. I'm like, oh, come on. Like, financial windfall.
I think that, you know, The Weeknd is an artist who clearly cares about and enjoys our charts as well. And so he wanted this number one, and he knew it needed a push. Yes.
They both do. And, you know, it doesn't escape me that someone probably said, you know, it worked last time. Maybe you can get a number one out
of this. Sure that the word remix was brought up and the first call is Ari, right? And it's like, can you? And then she decides whether she can or wants to, right?
Would anyone else would have worked on this aside from Ariana Grande?
Given it that big of a push, I don't know. Because obviously The Weeknd has a lot of other people that he works with regularly. And he's currently charting with that Creepin' song with like 21 Savage and all them.
Metro Boomin.
Yeah. Is that, am I mixing up my people?
We might be mixing up people.
Okay, here, I'm going to double check that. But, you know, clearly he has, you know, chart power with other people, but that song hasn't been number one yet. And, you know, that, I don't know, maybe he'll throw Ariana Grande a remix of that too. And it is Metro Boomin, The Weeknd, and 21 Savage.
But like, would another woman have had the same sort of like interest and cachet as Ariana Grande coming in to sort of melodically sing with The Weeknd?
I don't think so. I think this song,
Mariah Carey waltzes in.
Okay, that's interesting. But I do think that a lot of the juice here has to do with a combination of things. The popularity of Ariana Grande, the history of the two of them working together. You know, the other thing about both of these remixes is that Save Your Tears and Die For You is that they change the song up more so than just like somebody coming in and singing the second verse, you know? Yeah. Like Ariana actually adds a lot to a song that is beyond just giving, you know, 16 bars to Abel, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
I'm talking about like I know them. I keep calling him Abel.
Abel.
I think that's Haran's doing, our coworker.
Literally, I've never said the word Abel.
You know, I interviewed Lana Del Rey on a red carpet for Billboard Power 100 a million years ago, 8-9 years ago. And mm-hmm. she just like quietly was talking about her friend Abel. And that was, I think, the first time I'd heard somebody just, like, calling him Abel. Like, oh, his name's Abel. That's what his friends call him. Okay. Hmm. Anyway.
He's also been in the news lately.
That's true.
With his not-controversial film, TV series.
TV show, yeah.
The Idol, is that what it's called?
It's called The Idol. It's going to be on HBO. It's made by the same creator as Euphoria, and there was
already, that should tell you something.
I mean, there was a Rolling Stone report last week about the set being toxic, being sexually, like, you know, uncomfortable, et cetera, that they've done a lot of things to the script that maybe changed the whole premise of the show, et cetera. This is what the report said. Mm-hmm. And Abel's response was, here I go with Abel again.
Abel.
The Weeknd's response was he posted an Instagram video of a scene that has yet to be released from this show because nobody's seen anything from this show yet.
Right.
That makes fun of Rolling Stone, right. Talks about them being out of touch and not relevant
which
anymore.
Which kind of feels like that's kind of missing the whole point of the story.
Correct. Yeah, that's people were like, so you're going to address like the abuse allegations or just going to make light of it? Yeah.
We shall see. we had many other notes about Ariana, by the way. Like, this is the first time I think that she's released any new music since the end of 2021.
Is that right?
Well, I think it's right. That's when she had, it was a Mass Christmas.
Oh, wow. With Jimmy.
Jimmy and Megan Thee Stallion, Jimmy Fallon. And then she had a Kid Cudi collaboration, Just Look Up, from the movie Don't Look Up.
Wow.
I don't think she put out anything new last year.
That's shocking with how prolific she can be when she's turned on music mode.
Like, she had those two albums, like, basically almost back to back.
So she's just fully been, like, Wicked prep mode and then now Wicked production mode?
I guess. I mean, someone will, I'm sure, correct me if I'm wrong. So, I mean, that's part of the reason why it's also exciting just to hear Ariana on anything new.
100%.
Even if it's an old song.
Well, the Wicked director actually posted an Instagram story, like, proof that I'm not keeping Ariana Grande in a cage where she can't make music anymore or something, because I think the fans have given him a hard time about, like, you know, keeping her from the studio, basically. But
right.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Who hasn't Ariana collaborated with that we would like to see? I will suggest.
Please.
Madonna.
No.
Well, okay. So they sort of technically have worked together when the God is a Woman music video came out.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And in the video, you hear a voice that is, you know, allegedly God, and that's Madonna.
Mm-hmm.
But Madonna wasn't in the video, and she wasn't on the single. She wasn't on the album. So it's like, that doesn't really count.
Yeah.
So I don't know if their voices would necessarily work together, but I think because Ariana is such a big Madonna fan,
mm-hmm.
I think it could be really cool. And I would love nothing more than, like, God, I have some wild fantasy album for Madonna where I'm like, she has both a duet with, like, Lady Gaga, because now they've, like, sort of made amends and they get along now, which that would be, like, the dream. And then something with, like, Ariana Grande on it.
Are you thinking all new music for Gaga and Madonna?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I want a new studio album from Madonna where it's like she has.
What if they work with all, like, the classic producers? Like, what if they.
I don't even need that.
I might.
I just think sort of putting my sorry if there's sounds bleeding into our show because I can hear
we're fine
sounds coming from outside. I just if I put my sort of if I were an executive at, like, you know, Team Madonna, I would think you know maybe it would be cool if we had music on a new album that was collaborations with kind of. A different generation of stars, much in the same way where she worked with Justin Timberlake and Timbaland on 4 Minutes, and that maybe kind of introduced her to people that didn't know Madonna's work as well, aside from just knowing that she existed.
Sure.
And I think also it would be, like, very fitting because it's like, oh, like, think of the history between Gaga and Madonna, and now they get along well, and, like, Ariana loves Madonna. I'm like, it wouldn't be like Madonna trying to shoehorn herself into a situation with someone that seems weird.
Yeah.
Anyway, but I think that would be cool. I also think Barbara Streisand would be amazing because Ariana and Barbara sang live together at a one-off when she showed up to do No More Tears, Enough is Enough live on stage with Barbara at a concert, but they've never done anything properly on record.
And I think Ariana would support both of your ideas. I feel like I would like to see Ari on one of the upcoming From the Vault tracks from Taylor Swift. That's what I'd like. You don't want that?
No, that'd be fine.
It would need to be like 1989. It would need to be like her poppiest stuff and put Ari's voice on something like, you know, I can't think of a good example because it's going to be a deluxe track or, you know, actually the one of the most famous deluxe track from 1989 is New Romantics. So I can totally see like bring Ari in kind of like she brought in Chris Stapleton on Red, Phoebe Bridgers, like she's brought in Keith Urban came in on one of the Fearless tracks. Like she's brought in people to like kind of juice up these From the Vault tracks.
I also thought of, just because of sort of the tone, or I mean, obviously Ariana can kind of sing anything, but I thought like maybe her voice would be interesting with, say, Billie Eilish.
Mm-hmm.
And I also thought like, God, it would be fun to hear just two great voices like Beyonce and Ariana together.
Yeah.
I mean, that will probably literally never happen.
I mean, the thing is with Ari, it could. Like, she truly is like a collaborator. And I think the best example of that would probably be the Christmas song she did with Mariah Carey and Jennifer Hudson.
Oh, Santa.
Yes. They did the
so good.
The remix version of Oh, Santa. And I think that, you know, there was always talk at the beginning of Ari's career, like that she was kind of a baby Mariah.
Right.
And I think there was always a little resentment from Ari's side that, like, no, I'm my own artist, which she's truly proven. Mm-hmm. And a little resentment from Mariah's side, like, who's coming in to replace me kind of thing. Like, there was this sort of chatter. Maybe it was just fan-driven. But then they did this song together, and they did crazy vocal runs together, and it's like, I think Ariana, if the moment is right, will truly work with most anyone, especially these legends that she grew up listening to.
I think you have to be, you have to have arrived at your own kind of comfort net,
yes.
Comfort level.
She might not have done that, like, you know, no. First album.
That immediately reminded me of, because I'm old, it reminded me of how for the longest time, you know, Janet Jackson and Michael Jackson were, you know, on the charts together, separately, never working together, even though they worked together as young people, you know, back on like TV shows and stuff in the 70s. But they never did a song together properly until Scream in 1995, when at that point, Janet was the biggest.
Undeniably pop star in her own right.
Humongous pop superstar force.
Yes.
It's like no one would have ever said, oh, Janet is sort of glomming onto Michael.
No.
Or it was at that point they were like equals.
Yes, totally.
And I think that's, you know, when you think of it now, it's like Ariana is an enormous superstar. Also, imagine, since we're going to talk about Oscars, imagine when Wicked comes out, Ariana could be somehow in the mix at the Oscars somehow.
Oh, 100%. I think she is a songwriter, so I think that if she is not involved in working on whatever original song they're crafting for the movies, that would be a crime.
Or maybe an acting category as well, like Gaga.
It's just going to be like Gaga and A Star Is Born. It's just going to be like that.
Amazing.
Should we talk about the Oscars?
Speaking of the Oscars.
They're this Sunday. And we, of course, know that Rihanna is performing her nominated song from Black Panther, Lift Me Up. We know that I've got my like little full list of performers here. We know that Sophia Carson and Diane Warren are performing Applause from Tell It Like a Woman. We know that David Byrne, Sun Lux, and supporting actress nominee Stephanie Hsu are performing This Is a Life from Everything Everywhere All at Once. We know that, please apologize, I'm apologizing right now for the pronunciation, but Rahul Sipligunj and Kayela, I'm not even going to try, Kayela, they're going to perform Natu Natu from RRR, which, of course, won the Golden Globe for Best Original Song, so it's a real favorite going into Sunday.
That's 4 out of 5.
Yeah, there's one I haven't mentioned yet, Keith.
Who?
Lady Gaga's Hold My Hand is the final nominee, but we have yet to hear whether she's performing on Sunday. I'm really hoping she is.
Because but she's filming the Folie à Deux. Is that what she's filming?
She's filming Folie à Deux, which is the sequel to Joker with Joaquin Phoenix. She's allegedly playing Harley Quinn, though that has not been confirmed yet. It's all very mysterious.
Huh.
Yeah.
But wasn't there already a Harley Quinn
In yeah, that Margot Robbie, that's a different, you know.
That's a different universe?
Well, it's Jared Leto's Joker in that,
oh,
too.
Oh, God, it's so confusing.
It's complicated.
I'm very unfamiliar with the DC universe. Ask me about Marvel, and I'm
unfamiliar with both, but okay. I can tell you that much.
Well, you know, when they film these movies and they know that the Oscars are happening, usually most...
You gotta block that out.
The studios always block these things out.
So do you think we're gonna get, like, a surprise last minute? Actually, by the time people hear this podcast, is she gonna be announced? Is that what you're saying?
I'm gonna say yeah. They were holding that till the end, I think.
Okay. Well, and as I mentioned at the top of the show, I will be there. So I'm getting to see the second Rihanna concert, you know, in performance, I should say. In the past 5 years, she hasn't performed at all. And now we got Super Bowl halftime and Lift Me Up at the Oscars.
Yeah, but you're going to be actually at the
Oscars. I know. It's crazy, Keith.
Do you have a ticket? Do you know where you're sitting?
No, I'm receiving it today. So I will tell you soon.
You're not a seat filler. You have a dedicated seat.
I have a dedicated seat.
Wow.
It's through Billboard. I will be working press. I am going to be writing sort of a what you didn't see on TV, behind the scenes thing.
Can you take your cell phone in there?
Yeah.
I mean,
as far as I know.
Only just because our friends over at THR, the Hollywood
I was going to say, I've got to go talk to Chris Gardner at THR and get all the tips of how to do anything.
Because I follow Chris Gardner and Scott Feinberg, and they will often post video. Like that one video that I think it was Chris or Scott that posted of after the... when they went to commercial, when Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga performed Shallow, and they came back into the audience and everyone gave them a standing ovation during the commercial break.
See, that's the exact kind of moment I'm looking for.
Things you would not know, and they had video of that. So yeah. I'm like, oh, you're probably fine. You just can't, you have to be judicious about when you're filming.
For sure. So I'm very excited about that and getting to see Rihanna perform.
Oh my God, what are you wearing?
I have a gown I'm wearing.
Gown. Do you know if you get to do you get to walk in the bypass red carpet in the front?
I actually don't know any of that yet. So there's a lot that I'm still, a lot of information I'm receiving.
And maybe it's good that we don't share that with people.
That's probably true. But I actually have no idea about the red carpet, period. Like, I'm not credentialed for the red carpet.
Yeah, but I mean, to get into the venue, there's I would imagine if it's the Grammy Awards, there's a couple different ways you can get in depending on what your ticket lets
your access
you do.
Is yeah. Yeah.
So I'm like, ooh, that would be so much fun. I mean, if you're pressed, then maybe you do get to walk the bypass and at least get to see glimpses of the carpet as you walk by.
I do not know. This is all very new.
It's very exciting.
Like I said, I did the press room one time when I worked at EW, which was incredible. It was the year that 12 Years a Slave won, and so Brad Pitt was the producer of that, so he came back and talked to us. Jared Leto won for Dallas Buyers Club that year. He came back and talked to us. That was wild. I probably have... You have better access in the press room, really, than sitting in that big old theater with thousands of other people, but I'm still very excited to be in that theater.
The theater, to be honest, really isn't that big.
Right. It's the Kodak. It's still called Kodak. No, it's Dolby.
It's the Dolby
Theater now.
It's the Dolby Theater at something. It's now a name of the building.
Oh, like Hollywood and Highlands.
Yeah, I don't think it's called Hollywood and Highland anymore.
Oh, gosh.
It's called something else.
Okay, so just to get to the awards of it all.
Oh, right.
We just mentioned all the nominees for Best Original Song. We don't have a predictions piece up on Billboard.com, but Keith, do you have any thoughts about who could go away with this?
It feels like that song from RRR has a lot of...
RRR?
Oh, RRR.
Triple R?
Sorry. It feels like that song has a lot of momentum behind it, and maybe there's a way where sort of the pop superstars in Gaga and Rihanna maybe split the vote.
Yeah.
And the people that are really passionate about the RRR song end up pulling through. I think there's also a reasonable path that the song, the David Byrne song, can pull through, because I think Everything Everywhere All at Once, isn't that the most nominated film or the second most nominated?
Yes, and it's also killing it at every other award show in every category.
There could just be a momentum where people are like, yep, I'm just going to vote everything.
Well, and David Byrne. I mean, there's,
he's no
slouch.
He
might not be a pop star, but he's a super well-respected, recognized name. So people will posit that. You're right. The movie and the name together.
Or David Byrne, RRR, Gaga, and Rihanna all split the vote, and Diane Warren wins her first Oscar.
Oh my God, Keith.
Well, her first non-honorary Oscar. Competitive Oscar.
Can we have her on the Pop Shop if she wins her first
Oscar?
At
that point, she'll be like, I don't want to talk to you.
I don't need you anymore.
I mean, she is a friend of the podcast.
Oscar. I know.
So is Gaga, by the way.
I know. Well, I know. I interviewed her.
I don't think Gaga even knows that she was on the podcast, but she was.
Let's do a quick rundown of Best Original Score as well. Nominated are All Quiet on the Western Front, Babylon, The Banshees of Inisherin, Everything Everywhere All at Once, and The Fabelmans.
What? Okay. So All Quiet on the Western Front.
Yes.
Babylon. What were the other
ones? The Banshees of Inisherin. Everything Everywhere All at Once, and The Fabelmans.
So the only one that is in both song and score.
Everything Everywhere All at Once.
That tells you something about the support that it has from the music branch of the Academy, but I don't know if that will necessarily cross over in terms of...
Well, and that's an interesting one. Paul wrote about this. It's a band that's nominated for that score. Sun Lux is a band, and they did the score.
Oh, that's interesting.
Uh-huh. And then, but Paul, our awards editor, did give us his one bold prediction for the night, which is that All Quiet on the Western Front, the score from Volker Bertelmann, he thinks that'll win.
Interesting.
So, yeah.
Also up for, notably, Best Actor, Austin Butler is playing Elvis Presley in the movie Elvis. He may win and would be another in a long line of people who have played musicians, on the big screen that went on to win an Academy Award. Renee Zellweger played Judy Garland, for example. So it'll be interesting to see if that happens. Other things that I'm, interested in seeing, Jamie Lee Curtis is nominated for her first Academy Award ever for Everything Everywhere All at Once. She may win for Best Supporting Actress, but there's a lot of chatter that maybe Angela Bassett, who is only nominated for her second Oscar ever this year, also for Best Supporting Actress in Wakanda Forever, she may win. Her previous nomination was for Best Actress playing Tina Turner in What's Love Got to Do With It.
Oh, look at that full circle moment.
So again, music and the movies and the Oscars all kind of go hand in hand.
Going back to actor real quick, Austin Butler won the Golden Globe for playing Elvis.
But he didn't win the Screen Actors Guild.
He did not win the SAG Award. Brendan Fraser won it for The Whale.
Mm.
So that's an interesting thing going into. Obviously, that's not affecting the voting. It's just a matter of like a lot of the same people are voting in these fields. So you wonder whether... I don't know.
Yeah, you wonder how much of the Screen Actors Guild are also members of the Academy.
Yeah.
And because the Academy has really kind of increased and it's done a lot of outreach in the past like 5 years to increase its membership and have it become more diverse, how will that factor into the Oscars? I mean, a few years ago, everyone thought that Chadwick Boseman was going to win for Best Actor.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so much so that they saved that award as the last award of the night, and then Anthony Hopkins won.
Mm-hmm.
So just because you think something may shake out the one way, it won't.
I think the Oscars like...
Remember the Grammy Awards, everybody? Hey!
I think the Oscars like to differentiate themselves from the other big movie award shows, too. And so there's often some shakeups in those top categories. So
who do we think, completely throwing you a left turn, do we think is going to open the show? Because Beyonce opened the show a year ago performing
I loved that performance.
Be Alive performance from the movie King Richard.
Everybody wearing tennis ball yellow and, such a good performance.
So, like, you have...
I mean, it could just be Rihanna. You could, man, if the Oscars could say they had Beyonce open one year and Rihanna open the next, like, the Grammys wish they could say that, Like, that's a boon.
I think, yeah. I mean, I think when you have, depending on how you play it and how, what they're going for, it's like, they're in a fortunate position where they have, and I'm not dissing the other nominees, but when you have possibly Lady Gaga and Rihanna both slated to perform, let's just say that Gaga is going to, and we assume she will.
Mm-hmm.
How do you slot those into the show to keep people coming back, to keep them tuning in, holding on?
Mm-hmm.
Do you open the show with one of your biggest ammo or whatever, or do you hold them both back and tease them throughout the evening?
I feel like it was a big impact having Beyonce open like that, but it was also pre-taped, and it was also really like a visually stunning spectacle type thing. And it was, since it was separate from the actual Oscars venue, it was taped at the tennis courts where Serena and Venus grew up playing in Compton. That I feel like made sense to open because it was almost like opening with like a music video or something. Who's to say, like, we don't know what Gaga or Rihanna have planned and whether it would work as a show opener like that did so well.
I mean,
didn't Justin Timberlake open the show with Can't Stop the Feeling too?
He did.
Yeah. So, I mean, they definitely do know how to use a pop star like that.
Right. Also, I don't think Rihanna have ever performed Lift Me Up live.
I think you're correct. We wondered whether she would play Lift Me Up during the Super Bowl or even nod to it in some medley format or whatever. She sure didn't.
Who do you think is going to win Best Original Song?
I just talked myself into the David Byrne idea. Mm. Just because David Byrne.
Another old white man winning the Oscar. Oscar's so Byrne.
Yeah, is it because my main name is the same as David Byrne's? Maybe. Yes, I want Uncle David to win. No, he just, I just think that the respect level for him and that film could definitely come together.
Yeah. All right. Well, now it's time for the chart stat of the week. Katie, which of the following artists has not charted a Hot 100 hit with Ariana Grande?
Oh, okay.
Your choices are John Legend, Lil Baby, Lil Wayne, and Mika.
John Legend, Lil Baby, Lil Wayne, Mika. Did I miss somebody?
No, those are the four.
Four, okay.
One of those four did not have a Hot 100 hit with Ariana Grande.
I think I can picture what the Mika and John Legend ones are, so I'm going for one of the Lils. I'm going to go with Lil Wayne.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, no. Is it Lil Baby?
It was a Lil Baby.
Oh.
So she charted.
Wait, I can tell you. I think I can tell you the John Legend and Mika ones. John Legend was the Beauty and the Beast remake, right?
That's correct. It was number 87 in 2017.
Mika and Ari did a version of Popular from Wicked, which is very full circle because she's about to do that exact number as Glinda the Good Witch in the movies.
It was billed as Popular Song and went to number 87, also 87 in
2013. Oh, wow, that's bizarre. Okay, so what's the Lil Wayne song?
Lil Wayne song is Let Me Love You, Ariana Grande featuring Lil Wayne. It went to number 99.
So it was an album cut
apparently
that when the album debuted, hit the chart. Okay.
Well, you know, actually it's kind of hard to tell because I don't think it was an album cut because it debuted kind of randomly on its own in the middle of 2016, not concurrent with any other
songs. Featuring Lil Wayne.
Yeah.
From 2016. There you go.
What's it from?
That's what I'm looking at right now. Oh, we have got a Wikipedia page. From her third studio album, Dangerous Woman.
Hmm.
Yep.
Well, I don't know. There you go.
It's not a single, according to Wikipedia, but you know. But yeah, it did have a music video.
Oh.
So maybe that's when it debuted.
Not a single, but it had a video.
Yeah.
Maybe it was just a focus on the track.
It's a focus. Meanwhile, Focus is the actual single from Dangerous Woman.
Meanwhile, no. Focus wasn't even on that album.
Oh, it's from a different album.
No, it wasn't even put onto an album. Remember that was the first single, and then they decided not to put it onto the album?
Focus.
Focus on it.
Is that Jamie Foxx, right?
I don't know.
I think it was Jamie Foxx singing Focus.
But I'm pretty sure Focus was not put onto.
That's hilarious.
Well, double check me.
Okay, I'm looking. Focus. Well, it says album Dangerous Woman, but maybe it was just that timeline. Da-da-da. From the album. Oh, Dangerous Woman, Japanese edition.
Oh, there you go. It wasn't on the American
album.
There you go. But yeah, Focus came out in late 2015, and then it was a top 10 hit. But it had a very short run on the Hot 100, relatively speaking, compared to most Ariana tracks. Only spent 13 weeks on the chart. And then the title track, Dangerous Woman, came out. That went top 10 and spent 21 weeks on the chart. And that seemed to be the first proper single in America from the album.
So, and it was Jamie Foxx.
Really?
Yeah.
Was it a sample?
I didn't
of
remember that.
Or was it just
since we're learning about Focus, let's see here. Jamie Foxx sings the Focus chorus. Okay, it says, I don't know. There's not enough information here. Right. I'd have to dive too deep.
All right, well, anyway, there's your long rambling chart set of the week as we learn more about Ariana Grande's history. All right, we've reached the end of our big show. Exciting for Katie that she gets to go to the Academy Awards on Sunday.
I'll tell you all about it next week.
Oh my gosh. Ooh, do you have jewels picked out?
Not yet. I haven't gotten that far.
But you'll wear jewels.
I'm still honestly in the dress selection process. I have a front runner that I'm like very confident I will wear if I don't find anything else I like better. So,
do we know any stylists that can assist?
Yeah, I should have gone down to the video studio and asked for some help.
Can you guys recommend? And they're like, all the stylists are booked this week.
Somebody's like, doesn't somebody dress you? I'm like, I'm not gonna be like on the red carpet. I'm literally sitting in the audience. No one wants to dress me. I can tell you that much.
I mean, if you're gonna be on camera, maybe there's an opportunity to. No. All right, what song? What song should we go out on?
Probably
one of your
Ariana
favorite Oscar winning.
Focus. So everyone can hear Jamie Foxx.
Focus on that. All right, see you guys next time.
Bye.
Focus on me. Focus on me. Focus on me. Focus on me.